I have scripture today, and it comes from James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit.
Have you ever been trusted? Been trusted to do something? Or been entrusted with something? What does being trusted or entrusted mean for you? God gives us responsibilities. He trusts us to do what he asks. And he entrusts us with things like our children or our jobs. The last time I spoke, we talked about Elijah and how he predicted the time of no rain. And then he went to the woman of Zarephath and lived there for 3 years. We're moving on in the story. We're in 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at the whole chapter here. As Nadine read in the scripture this morning, 3 years have passed since Elijah said it's not going to rain. What is the ground going to be like in 3 years with no rain? There's going to be nothing green at all. Everything's going to be dead. Dirt, just a miserable, barren wasteland. In chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria." So Elijah's told, go back. It's time to end this process. And into the story, we get a new character. A man by the name of Obadiah. Now, Obadiah, his name means the servant of Yahweh, which is very interesting because Obadiah's job was he was the ruler of Ahab's house. He was in charge of it. Yet Jezebel had killed many prophets of God. And they went, searched the entire land looking for Elijah. But yet, a man of God was running Ahab's house. I find it very interesting. He was trusted, but he was there because he was trustworthy. In fact, he was so trustworthy that as we look at verse 5, it says, "And Ahab said to Obadiah, Go into the land to all the springs of water and keep the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass and keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So here we haven't had rain, but it's clear that there were springs of water that continued to flow. So they were looking for these areas. Verse 6, so they divided the land between them to explore it. Obadiah is so trusted by Ahab that Obadiah went one direction and Ahab went the other. The two of them are searching for grass to keep the livestock alive. And in their search, Obadiah encounters Elijah. And there's a lot of repeat dialogue here where Elijah says, go tell Ahab I'm here. And Ahab, and Obadiah goes, but you're going to disappear again. The Lord is going to hide you. And it was commonly thought that the Lord would just make Elijah disappear. Because we're told the same thing about Elisha later on. They said, the Lord's gonna carry you away like they did Elijah when after Elisha gets the mantle from Elijah. Elijah then tells Obadiah, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be here. Go get Ahab. Now, it's interesting here also that Elijah didn't say, I'm going to come see Ahab. He said, go get Ahab. And what did Ahab do? He came immediately. Who's in charge of this relationship here? Is it the king? Or is it God's prophet? God's in charge. Ahab immediately comes. And we're told in Prophets and Kings, in the chapter called Carmel, that Ahab came and was very fearful. He wasn't sure what was going to happen when he showed up to talk to Elijah. Whether he was going to pronounce a worse curse or that he didn't know. It terrified him. So he obeyed very scared. I just took my finger out of my spot. And Elijah then tells Ahab, well, verse 17, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he, Elijah, answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now, who again is giving the command? Not Ahab, Elijah. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So gather all the people and come to Mount Carmel. Now, in the land of Israel and where they were, Mount Carmel was one of the highest mountains. Could be seen from miles around. And from the top of it, you could also see the Mediterranean Ocean, or sea, Mediterranean Sea. So it was high, and it was also used as a holy place to worship Baal. So Elijah cast the challenge, come to Baal, or come to Mount Carmel, and we'll see who's God. In the place where Baal had been, or where the prophets had claimed was Baal's. And again, everybody came, because God was leading this happening here. And Elijah then says to the people, after they had gathered, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him nothing. Now, as I was translating that, or looking at the translation of this and looking at the Hebrew, I came across an interesting word. In the New King James, it's translated falter. In the King James, it's translated halt. The possible translations for this word, the word in Hebrew is pasak, is hesitate, leaped, danced, halt. And it's interesting because it is the same word that is used in verse 28. I lost it. Where it says, the prophets of Baal, they leapt around. They jumped around. And I can't find it as I'm looking at it here. But it's the same word. How long will you falter, hesitate, or leap? It's all the same. I find it interesting because what they were doing was the same thing that the prophets did when they worshiped their God. And so everybody's there. They begin to prepare the two bulls. And the prophets of Baal went first. And they start praying and incantations and whatnot. And then all morning they're doing this. And then at noon, Elijah goes, "Hey, he's a god. If he's a god, maybe he's sleeping." Verse 27 here, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until blood gushed out of them." You know, that practice of cutting themselves has been used in many different religions. The Mayans would use that. The Mayan Indians here, they would cut themselves as a gift to the god, to the gods. So it's not just ancient. Well, Mayans are relatively ancient, but this is older than the Mayans. And they continued this from morning all the way till the evening sacrifice. In fact, they wore themselves out. And verse 29 at the end, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. And Elijah said to all the people, come near me. So all the people came near him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. This place also had an altar of God on it that had been long neglected. The altar was broken down. And he took the 12 stones, the way they made their altars, that numbered according to the number of the tribes of Jacob, and he built the altar. And then he did something strange. He dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed, which, depending on what you look at for measurement, anywhere from 4 to 6 gallons. There's a trench that would hold that much fluid. And then he put the wood and cut the bull and put everything ready. Got everything ready. And then even more strange, he says, fill 4 water pots. Or pitchers, water pots, pitchers, depending on which Bible, which translation you look at. So if we say a pitcher is a gallon, gallon and a half, they poured the water on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And do it a third time. And so they did it. So we have anywhere from 12 to 18 gallons of water poured on top of these rocks and meat and wood, enough that it flowed on the ground and filled the trench. Which in itself is impressive. Not just that there was that much there, but they put 18 gallons, 12, I'm going to use the big numbers, 18 gallons on the altar on an earth that had been completely barren for 3 years. Now, water's going to soak in some. But if it's dry enough, it's going to just run away before very long. It soaked in, did its thing, and there was still standing 6 gallons of water. Any chance he might could have put a spark under it and it lit? Not a chance. Not a chance. So if there's any fire, it's clearly from God. And then Elijah prayed. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And then as he finishes, like lightning, fire. And it didn't just burn the offering. What's it do? It burned the offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water in the trench. That's some fire. There was no doubt. Even if you had started it yourself, it's not going to burn the stones. and licked the water. It's a God fire. He had enough faith that God was gonna come through. He just asked, and God delivered big time. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And then Elijah said to the people, who wouldn't say anything at the beginning. Remember? They said not a word. When he asked them, how long are you going to falter between two religions? They had said, and they were actually scared of him. He said, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let any of them escape." They seized them. They brought them to the brook Kishon, and they were no more. But the story doesn't end there. From there, he then tells Ahab, "Go eat." There's rain coming. Go eat. Now, it's been all day. Doesn't say they ever stopped and took a break. So go eat, Ahab. Did Elijah stop? No. Elijah immediately went where he went and knelt down and prayed some more. Verse 41, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" Not just a little sprinkle. Abundance of rain. So he went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. He's humbling himself before God. And he says to his servant, "Go look at the Mediterranean, see if you can see anything." And the servant comes back and said, "There is nothing." Now, Elijah had just prayed, "God, show yourself, prove yourself that you are God." And he got an answer. Boom! Now he's praying for rain, and he got nothing. Was he discouraged? No. Not at all. He just prayed again and sent his servant back. And he didn't do it once or twice. He did it 7 times. And then on the 7th time, the servant goes, "I see a cloud." Verse 44. "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." And again, Elijah doesn't hesitate at all. He says, "Okay, go tell Ahab it's time to go. Prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now, why would the rain stop him? Well, he was headed to Jezreel. And between Carmel and Jezreel, the road they took during a heavy rain became a swamp. So he had to get there before he couldn't. That's why he says, "Before the rain stops you." And while he was getting ready to go, the sky got black, filled with The sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And then this other really neat thing happens to Elijah, which tells us a couple of things. First, tells us that God touched him. Because then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, there's a heavy rain. He can't see where he's going. He probably knows the road, but he can't see it because of the rain. So Elijah is leading the horses, running. You ever tried to run with a horse? I have. I lose every time. He's leading the horses. He was touched by God. The second thing it tells us is that even though Ahab was an evil king and had turned his back on God, Elijah was humble enough to lead him out. As God's servant, didn't matter what he did, he stepped up and he led this no good king. What we have to remember, God places kings and rulers in place. So he was still put there by God. And Elijah led him. Humble. So that's something that a slave would do. Elijah didn't hesitate. So, and the story ends, well, the story continues, but that's where we'll stop. Story chapters were inserted here. We could roll on for another whole chapter, and the story is great. Well, that's the next time I preach on Elijah. But you read it, and you go, okay, that's good. And there's some cool things in it, but that's a good story. What's really there for me? The first thing that I found is in verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab." When God says go, it's time to move. Right now. Doesn't mean I got to figure things out. That means you go. Which brings me to two questions. Are we listening to God? And the second one is, when we do hear, do we respond or do we drag our feet? I can't answer those questions for you. It's what you've got to wrestle with that one yourself. I know in my own experience, when we were called to move here to Ohio, 400 miles from anybody that we knew, we moved. God said move. We didn't know a soul. Into completely different culture. Talk about scary. I see some heads shaking from people who have done the similar things. When God says move, you got to go. Second thing is that as we look at the story, Ahab and Jezebel have been hunting for Elijah for 3 years. They have been they've been going to neighboring towns, or neighboring countries, asking where Elijah was. Was he here? They couldn't find him. They got so upset, Jezebel in particular, that she would kill anybody who believed in God. Consequently, the prophets of Baal as well, and all of the people of Israel, all these people despised Elijah at the time of this story. So the second thing is, whatever God asks us to do, we have to know that He will protect us. God's, if He asks us, He's prepared the way. It's our duty to move. The third thing comes from verse 30, chapter 18. I'm going to read the second. Well, the second two-thirds. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. If in your life there is something preventing you from hearing God, or if you need to rebuild your communication with Him, rebuild that altar, even if it's from nothing at this point, you've got to do it to talk to God. And the fourth one comes very shortly on the heels of that, from verse 40. And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them. If there's anything hindering you, you've got to eradicate it. Not just turn your back on it. You've got to eradicate it. It's got to disappear from your life. And then, you know, He's asked us to do things. We're preparing our lives all along with thing three and four here. We have to trust God to move as He says He will. We're told our bread and water are sure. So He says go, He's going to take care of us. We have to have faith and step out to do it. Going to jump ahead in the story for a quick second for the next couple things. Elijah, then the very next verse, he runs away. Next two verses. He runs away off by himself. We have to abide with God. We can't be off by ourselves doing whatever we want to do. When God's called us, we've got to stay where He puts us until He calls us somewhere else. And that last is the last thing. We have to be ready for His next command, because once He puts us there, that is likely not the last place we'll be. We'll learn what He wants us to learn there, and then He'll ask us to go somewhere else. Could be next town, it could be across the country, who knows? Wherever God calls us, we must go when He calls us to go there. I want to leave you with a verse. Wherever God calls us, whatever it is that he asks us to do, we have to have the faith to be willing to step out and do it. And Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. No matter what, God hears us. And then Mark chapter 23, excuse me, chapter 9, verse 23. Then Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How is your faith today? Are you willing to step out when God calls? Whatever it is, knowing that he's got you, he'll protect you. Are you prepared to move when God says go? A closing hymn today. It's number 608. Faith is the victory. 608. Father, we want to be ready to move when you call, wherever that may be. Father, as we strive to walk closer and closer with you, continue to grow our faith so that when that next call does come, movement is our next thing. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.